story of healing as an example, but this covers every realm. But the best story I know is not my own, even though I have had wonderful testimonies in our family and things. But it's Brother Kenneth E. Hagin's. How many of you are familiar with Kenneth Hagin? Most of you would be. I traveled with Kenneth Hagin for 11 years. I followed his ministry for 30. He was my spiritual father, you know. And so he was what they call the father of faith of this generation, and brought the revelations and truths of earlier centuries into the 19th and 20th century there. So, you know, he was born prematurely, and he had an incurable heart condition, incurable blood condition, and by the time he's 15 years old, he becomes totally bedfast, paralyzed from the waist down. He's in the bed 16 months. And so he said, you know, when you're in the bed 16 months every day, you got a lot of time to read. And so he'd get his mom to put the Bible out in front of him and prop him up. And he had limited use of his hands, and sometimes his vision would grow dim. But he'd read for about 10 minutes at a time, and sometimes he'd take him several minutes just to turn a page. But he said he ultimately came across these scriptures in Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24, but 24 particularly. And he read it, "Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them." And he said, you know, I would pray, and I would ask Jesus to heal me. And I would cry, and I would beg, and I would plead, and I would pray. And he said, I'd have some sense or feeling that maybe he had hurt me. And, you know, and then I would check to see if my heart was beating differently or if I could move. And he said, you know, nothing had happened. And I'd become so discouraged. And I'd put the Bible down, he said, sometimes for a week or more, and wouldn't even look at it. Then I'd come to death's door and I'd hold on to that bedpost not to die. And he said somehow I'd make it through it, you know. And then I'd pick the Bible back up. And then one day he said, I came to that verse again. And he said, Lord, you said whatsoever things you desire. He said, I desire to be well. I want to run and play with other kids. I've been sick all my life. He said, when you pray, he said, I've prayed. You said, believe. And he said, Lord Jesus, if you came down, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, he said, but if you came down here and stood by my bedside and took my hand in yours like my mother does and sits by and looks in my eyes every morning and comforts me, and you looked at me and you said, son, your problem is you don't believe. He said, I would have to say to you with the utmost respect, you are mistaken. I do believe. And he said, all of a sudden, this little still small voice, the Holy Spirit, spoke inside. And he said, you do believe, son, as far as you know. But the rest of that verse says, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. He said, dear Lord, it's like somebody came in there and turned a light on. He said, I saw it. Immediately. He said, you mean I've got to believe I've got it before I get it? He said, you mean I got to believe I receive it before I actually have it? That's right. I've got to believe I take it in the unseen, intangible realm, and it is mine. And if I'll believe it in that realm that I've got it, then it will manifest in this natural realm. It'll transition, right? So he said, man, I saw it. And he said, I was raised Baptist. He said, I didn't know. I've never seen anybody do this in my whole life. No teaching tapes, no books. He said, but something prompted me. And I lifted my hands as far as I could there on the bed. And I just said, oh, thank you, Jesus. I believe I receive my healing. Thank you, Lord. I am healed of this incurable blood condition, of this incurable heart condition, of this paralysis. Thank you, Lord. I'm healed. And he said he just began to praise God. And he said immediately the devil came. You're an idiot. Look at you. You're not healed. Feel your heart. Look at your legs. And he said he put his hand up almost to feel his heart because he was in the habit of doing it. And he slapped his hand. He said, oh, no. I didn't say I look like it. I didn't say I feel like it. He said, I said, I believe I am. And he said, if you got a problem with that, devil, go talk to Jesus about it. Why? Because he's the one that said it. So he said, I just ignored him. Sometimes that's the best thing to do, just ignore the devil and all his nonsense. And he said, I just lifted my hands again, about 10 minutes, was praising God. Thank you, Lord. I believe I'm healed. Thank you, Jesus. I believe I receive. And he said, as he's praising God, that same still small voice. See, that's where the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with faith. Other people can't tell you necessarily what to do unless they're being led by the Spirit in their instructions. But the Holy Spirit will lead us in the manifestation of these things. As we cooperate with Him and our level of faith and so forth, He knows where we are and what we need to do, right? And He knows all the variables. So that that small voice said, now you do believe. Well, people ought to be up this time of morning. He said, now how in the world is a paralyzed person supposed to get up? He said, but yeah, that's right. Well, people should be up. So believing's part of it. And then, of course, action is very important in correspondence as the Spirit leads us, right? Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin in 1957 in a vision, and he said, I'll give you 4 points to receiving anything you need from me or God the Father. And you probably read it. It's called Write Your Own Ticket with God. He said, say it. Positive or negative, Jesus told Brother Hagin, according to what the individual says, that and that only shall they receive. And then he said, do it. And he said, that's where a lot of people miss it, in their action. Now, you can't act on impulse. You got to act in faith by the impulse of the Spirit. See what I'm saying? So he said, yeah. Well, people ought to be up. So he said, this is what I did. He said, I pulled my knees up because I had, partial use of my arms. I pulled my knees up to my chest and I threw my legs over the side of the bed. And he said they hit the floor like 2 chunks of wood. And he said, I wouldn't know they were down there except I could see them. I certainly couldn't feel them. And he said, I held on to the bedpost. And he said the whole room was spinning because I'd been laying down 16 months. And he said the whole room spinning. So I closed my eyes. And he said, I'm holding on and my legs are drooping. And he said, I just lifted one hand. And he said, I want to declare before Almighty God, Jesus Christ, the angels of heaven, Satan, and the demons of hell, that I believe, I receive my healing. He said, all of a sudden, man, that room started spinning again. So he closed his eyes. See what I'm talking about? Determination, tenacity. Right? And so he said, he's holding on, his legs are drooping. And he said, I lifted my hand again and he said, I want to say, before Almighty God, Jesus Christ, the angels of heaven, Satan, and the demons of hell, that I believe, I receive my healing. Now, what is he doing? Friends, he is pulling that thing out of the realm of the intangible into the tangible, out of the unseen into the seen. How? With his hand of faith. He took it over there and he's pulling it into this realm through the avenue of faith, right? And so he declared it again and he said, all of a sudden, man, something like warm honey hit me in the top of the head and it started oozing down my body. And it went down through my chest. And then he said, when it got to my legs, it went all the way down to my toes. And he said, I'm going to tell you right now. He said, it hurt so bad if it hadn't felt so good. Because it felt like 10 million needles. You know when you sit on your foot or something and it goes to sleep and you get up, how that feels? He said, man, it hurt so bad, but it felt so good because he hadn't had any feeling. And so he said, it went all the way down his toes. And then he said, then I said, now I'm going to walk. And he said, and I've heard the stories personally, not just the book. So he said, the first day, he said, I held on to the furniture. Now, the reason he did, because his legs were skin and bones, no muscle mass. He's been laying down 16 months, no calves, no quads, nothing. So he's holding on to the furniture. And he walked around the room one time, and he got back in bed and didn't tell anybody. Then the second day, he said, I got up again. I held on to the furniture. I walked around the room, got back in bed, didn't tell anybody. Then he said the third day, that second night, I said, Mom, put my clothes out in the chair. I'm going to get up and have breakfast in the morning with Grandpa. She said, you are. He said, yes, ma'am, I am. So she humored him in her mind and put out the clothes. But then the next morning he got up, got dressed, went to the breakfast table, and he said, his grandfather said, dear Lord, is the dead raised? He said, yes, Grandpa, Jesus has healed me. And he was healed. And so, you know, that's an awesome story, right? But here's the point. From the moment you believe that you receive to the time the transition is complete, we have to do what the Bible says, and that is to maintain the profession of our faith without wavering. Which means we just hold on to it with our affirmation of praise. Thank you, Lord. I know I'm healed. If it's healing, if it's finances, I know it's on the way. It's mine. If it's healing, I know I have it. It's mine. Right? So we just praise God for it. And because sometimes these transition periods can be immediately or progressively. Why? I don't know, friends. I don't have all the answers. But I've just seen that through the years. There was a woman who had cancer. She was rolled into Brother Hagin's crusade. The meetings went longer in those days, about 2 and 3 and 4 weeks. And so she came in, her husband rolled her. She was incapacitated. She had cancer. And she listened to a message like this. And throughout the week, she listened to the word, you know, concerning the redemptive reality of healing and how to receive and so forth. So Friday night came, they're going to pray for the sick. So her husband wheels her up there. So Brother Hagin's laying hands on people. And, you know, he laid hands on her. And he made note of the fact when he laid hands on her, he heard her say, that's it. It's mine. I take it now. And it didn't look like there was any change in the natural. So he just took note of that. He went on. Well, after service, he rolled her out seemingly the same way she came in. No natural evidence of the fact that she'd been healed. But she had said, that's it, it's mine, I take it now. Well, 2 weeks later, they come back into the meeting, and there she is walking in totally healed. And so Brother Hagin saw him and said, come give your testimony. Well, they both came up, but he did the talking. So her husband said, you know, look, I took her home that night. I got her dressed for bed, put her in the bed the next morning, got her up, got her dressed, wheeled her to the breakfast table, and we just sat there and laughed. Because she is healed. He said, day number two, day number three, got her up, breakfast table. We sat there and laughed. Thank you, Lord. Ha, 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 ha. She is healed. Thank you, Lord. Now, what's she doing? Well, she's holding fast the profession of her faith. She's keeping the switch of faith turned on because she's taken it, but it's in transition. Right? From the unseen to the seen. So day number four, day number five, day number six, you know, passes. He said, I rolled her to the breakfast table. Same thing. Day number seven, day number eight, day number nine, roll her to the breakfast table. We sit there and laugh. 9 days? Yeah, 9 days. He said, then day number 10, I woke up and I smelled bacon cooking in the kitchen. And there she is up cooking breakfast completely healed as she is now. Glory to God. Amen. So these things are spiritual realities, right? And, you know, I'll just throw in a few things for your information. How many of you give me 5 more minutes again? 5, 10, 15, 20. All right. So you listen so well. But, you know, you don't always hear this, but Brother Hagin gives testimony of the fact that several months later, after he was miraculously healed, he found himself back in the bed more than he was out of it. So he said to the Lord, hey, I'm missing it somewhere. What's going on? And the Lord revealed to him what was happening. When he went to school, the principal would say to him, we know that you were sick, Ken. You don't have to climb the steps to attend your class. We'll take your work down. You sit downstairs here in the study hall. Oh, well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. So he wouldn't climb steps. He'd stay downstairs. Then on the way home, there was a lady who owned a sidewalk grocery store, and she had a son named Junior. And she'd meet, you know, Brother Hagin there, and she'd say, well, Ken, you look white as a ghost. You look like you're about to pass out. You want Junior to drive you home? He'd say, yes, ma'am, I'd appreciate it. I appreciate it if you would. He'd get in the car and drive him home. And then he realized the more he did that, the weaker he got. See what I mean? You can let go of things. And these things are real in the tangible, in the spiritual realm. And the Lord showed him he was backtracking. And how he had to reverse that. He got to act in correspondence with what he believed. So he said he went back to school the next morning. Principal said, oh, no, you can sit down here in the study hall. He said, oh, no, sir. He said, I got to climb those steps. And he said, God is my eternal witness. He said, the first day I climbed that step, I turned blue. He said, I thought I was going to pass out. I didn't think I was going to make it. But every step I'd say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, I'm healed. And he said, I got to the top of those stairs. And he said, on the way home, she wanted Junior to drive me home. And he'd say, no, thank you, ma'am. Jesus has healed me. And he said, boy, I wanted to get in that car. He said, I wanted to, but I knew I couldn't. And he said, I thought I was going to fall flat on my face, but I kept walking. And he said, it wasn't a couple of weeks' time. I was breezing up those steps. I was walking all the way home. I'd regained the territory I'd lost, never had any more issues with it. See what I'm saying? So keep the switch of faith turned on. These are just some good principles. Now, these things not only apply in the physical realm, friends, but also in the financial realm. And it does take finances to operate, right? And to bring corporate visions into fruition, to have personal dreams and desires. And so it does work in the financial realm. Now, when you're dealing in the financial realm, you got to give God time to work, because you're dealing with more than just you and God. There are people, opportunities, divine connections, avenues, things that need to be orchestrated in that natural realm in order to facilitate financial things. So you got to give God time to work. For in my particular vocation, because I live by the gospel, and that's the way, you know, I think sometimes preachers preach it that it's going to happen for the layman like it does for the preacher, and there's a little bit of a difference there. Because I preach the gospel, I live by the gospel primarily on gifts of people, and so many times I believe God for certain amounts of money, and God speaks to people to help us. You see what I mean? But most often in the area of finance, God certainly can speak to people to bless you, but He most often will give you avenues of increase, ideas, creativity, put you in the right place at the right time with the right people, open doors. You see what I mean? So it can come in both ways. But if you do need finances, always put your faith out ahead of you. Give God time to work. So as an itinerant minister, I look at my schedule. You know, I see, okay, for this month, I got to have $20,000 come in because I got two trips overseas and I got this coming in. So I'll go 3 and 4 months in advance with my faith. And I will say what I was taught. Father, thank you. You meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory. We give, it's given unto us. So Lord, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you, and I'm very specific, for $20,000 for the month of August, right? And then Brother Hagin said, and I'll just give you this as a bonus, you know, you can take it or leave it. But he said the Lord told him, when you're praying for finances, he says, claim what you need. Be specific. Then bind the devil off of it. Devil, take your hands off my money. Commission the angels to go bring it in. And then thank him for it. So that's what I do as a rule. And I give God time to work, and God is my eternal witness, it works. It comes in. Now, on December one time, I had to have $25,000. And so I said, now, Lord, in several months ahead, I claimed that amount of money. I needed it for personal operation and the ministry. And because we had several trips coming up in January out of the country. So by December 15th, only $12,500 come in. So what do I do? Oh, no. Thank you, Lord. We prayed. I know I got my date and time. We made the transaction. It's mine. Woo, I'm not taking no for an answer. Angels, get with it. This is the 15th. Right? Well, God's my witness. I got a phone call from a guy and said, hey, Brother Marty, you've been on my heart, you know, for about quite a while here. I need to fly up and talk to you. So he flew up. He said, God told me to partner with your ministry. And he pushed a check across the table for $12,500. And that made the 25 for the month. I'm not bragging. I'm telling them what I'm talking about Jesus. Right? I can't talk about you because I don't know you. I got to talk about me and my experiences. Now let's think about this. Talking about, most often it comes through avenues. So my wife and I, we got married. Now, it's not all about money, friends. It's not all about cars and houses. We know that. It's about eternal things. But we still live here. And you do have desires. So my wife wanted a house. We just got married. We're working full-time, 40 hours a week, both of us. making $24,000 a year combined. So we don't have any money for a down payment, right? And so we're living in an apartment, which is fine if that's what you like to do. But she wanted a house. So what do? We go to the Word. We gathered our evidence, right? Got some scriptures. I actually got out a piece of paper and I wrote down my scriptures, gathered my evidence. Then we agreed and asked for a house. And my wife had some specific things she wanted. So we asked and we agreed and we thanked God for a new house. Thank you, Lord, for a new house. Now, is that all I do? Well, no, not necessarily. Because in the life of faith, you can't divorce faith from the leading of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord is our shepherd. He leads us. So I say to the Lord, now if there's anything you need me to do in conjunction with this prayer of faith, I'm listening. You know. So I stay prayerful. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost one night in December. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, we're in there in the bed holding hands praying in other tongues. And I start speaking in diverse kinds of tongues. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, this was 1995. And he said, there's a financial opportunity coming for your increase. Be watching. Well, glory to God. I just spoke that out. Well, in March of 96, a buddy of mine came. I've never been in business in my whole life, ministry, since I was 16, you know, starting in the church. And so he said, I got a business opportunity I thought you might want to look at. I said, well, I don't really do business. I said, but let me look at it. Well, when I looked at it, I had a witness of the Spirit that I should get involved. And I talked to my wife about it. It took $100 to get started. And I'm going to tell you, that was a lot of money. But we knew this was God, right? So we got started. Well, meanwhile, we go out to... Are y'all bored?
No.
I'm sorry, I don't want to keep you late. I promise I don't have you here. But we went out to eat dinner at one of our friend's house who lived on a golf course. Beautiful home on the golf course. He had us for dinner. We're sitting on the back porch, and I look over to my left, and there's a beautiful home, 3,700 square feet, on the golf course, for sale sign. And I said, hey, Roy, you think they'd let us come look at that house? I don't have any money. But I said, you think they'll let us come look at that house? He said, well, I'll call them and ask. So they said, well, yeah, bring them on over. So my wife and I, we went in that house. Now, let me, I'm telling you, every room we went in, and it was so nice compared, you know, to where we were. Every room we went in, my spirit's going boom, 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 boom. I'm like, oh my goodness. We get out the front door. I whispered in my wife's ear. I said, honey, this is our house. She said, I know it. And we don't have any money. I'm telling you the God's truth. So we get back over there, and I say, hey, Roy, I'm going to buy that house. I said it. I said, I'm going to buy that house. Why? Because I'm not just speaking faith, but I'm also, I have a witness of the Spirit. I said, I'm going to buy that house. He said, you are? I said, yeah. He said, well, I'll agree with you in Jesus' name. I said, thank you. Well, in the meantime, I'm diligent with this little business and I start working it. See, God creates avenues. Well, some money starts coming in. And corresponding with that, I get a phone call. And it's the man that owns the house. And he said, Mr. Blackwelder. I said, yes. He said, this is so-and-so. I said, uh-huh. He said, you remember me? You came to the house. I said, sure. He said, I got your number from Roy. I said, well, what's up? What's up? He said, man, you're going to think this is crazy. He said, but when you and your wife came in this house and you left, he said, my wife and I had the strangest sense that you should have this house. And I don't even think they were believers. I don't know. He said, do you like it? I said, oh, yes. He said, would you like to have it? I said, oh, yes. I said, but I'm not in a position presently to buy it from you. But see, sometimes you take baby steps in things. Little steps. God leads you with steps. And you take that step and then it leads you to the next one. I said, but here's what I can do. I said, how about this? You and your wife move out. You take it off the market and move out. I said, we'll move in. And I said, it's exactly what I told him. And I said, and I will lease it from you with the option to buy and use a portion of that monthly lease as an ultimate down payment. How's that sound? He said, well, just a minute. And so they were ready to go. And he came back. He said, yeah, we'll do it. So they were holding that thing. You know what I'm saying? So he said, yeah, we'll move out. You move in. We'll use a portion of that. So we signed the papers. We did. Well, God is my eternal witness, friends. And once again, I'm bragging on Jesus. It has nothing to do with me. I'm just saying when we combine faith and the Holy Ghost, amazing things can happen. So we went from 24,000 to combine 40 hours a week earlier in that year. By the time 12 months were over, we were at $450,000 with this business. Yeah. So I paid off my Camry, paid off the bills, put a good down payment on that house. We lived in it 7 years and sold it with equity. Now, don't be too excited. The government took $200,000 of it. I think I paid 52% in taxes. Hallelujah, give unto Caesar, right? But you know, and what I'm saying to you is, God can do things that seem impossible. He has avenues. He can grant opportunities, give ideas, put you with the right people. If we just, hey, He's the God of the universe. He knows everybody, everywhere, everything. So if He's got a plan or a purpose, or you as His child have a desire, He knows how to get it done if we'll release our faith, make a divine transaction, and then listen to the Holy Ghost. Man, y'all listen so good. You know, one time, I'll just tell you now, Lillian B. Yeoman said this. She said, if I pray and I do not receive, I change. Because if I pray and I do not receive, a change must occur before the answer comes. And the change is not with God, it'll be with me. So what that means is sometimes we just got to listen. For instance, I had joint pain, bad. Getting up in the mornings, man, my joints are hurting, my knuckles. And I'm relatively young. I mean, it'd take me a while to get started. I'm like, what in the world? So I go to the evidence, gather it, make my transaction. Whoa, amen, it's mine, acting on my faith. Month later, still hurting, bad. So what do? I say, now, Lord, look. Is there something I'm missing here? Just something I need to do? It's all right to talk to Him. So I fasted and prayed. See, you got to get serious sometimes if you want answers. So I fasted and prayed so I could steal my outer man in here. And I'm in my bedroom on my knees, and the word of the Lord came to me. And you're going to laugh your head off. He said, you're drinking too many Dr. Peppers. I ran out of the bedroom. I said, honey, God just spoke to me. She said, what did He say? He said, I'm drinking too many Dr. Peppers. She said, well, I could have told you that. I love Dr. Pepper. I drank it all the time. I don't know what's in it. I still like it. But you know what I did? I cut it out, all soda. And I started drinking water, and that's what I drink now. That's my staple. And God is my eternal witness. Within a month or a little less than that, all that pain went out of my joints. And I don't have any now. It's gone. I don't know what's in Dr. Pepper. I don't care. Maybe the sugar, which causes inflammation. I don't know. But God knows this stuff. Man, my dad was diagnosed with 4th-stage melanoma cancer, given 4 months to live as a Baptist man. And he called me and said, they gave me 4 months to live. I said, well, Daddy, that's what they say. Let's see what the Almighty has to say. So, man, I went fasting and praying on my dad's behalf, and God gave me a plan. A plan. See? Not just releasing the faith. God gave me a plan of how to fight it on 3 fronts. Spiritually, naturopathically, and medically, but no chemo, no radiation. That's what the Lord told me for my dad. I'm not telling you what to do. Because I knew if my dad took it, he'd die. I just knew it. So we followed the plan, and my dad had 4 glorious years, cancer-free, and had another complication. He said, don't pray for me, I'm ready to go home. That's what he told me. Don't pray for me. I said, my mom had already gone, so he said, nope, don't pray for me. I'm ready to go. I said, all right. But anyway, see what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Man, you guys are awesome. So why did I talk about this tonight? Because I believe that there's some things that God wants to do for you. Personally, corporately, whether it be, you know, where the plan and purpose of God is for the church, we got to bring some things out of the realm into this one. Maybe you've got some personal desires, some personal needs. What are we saying? God said, hey, I want to get it to you. But we need to make some divine transactions. Get your paper out. I want to give you a homework assignment. If you've got something you really need from God, go home. Get your evidence, right? And then meditate it for a little bit. And then make a divine transaction with God. You and God, make a divine transaction. And know, write the day, write the time. I go back, I can see. That's the day right there. I made it. I had a divine transaction with heaven. With my faith, we made an exchange. See what I mean? And we do it on purpose. Because there's some things that He wants to get to us. And it's coming to pass. Amen. Are you listening? How many of you have some things you need to get hold of? Some things you want to see come into fruition? Well, if God is a God of His Word, I believe He's going to do it. And bring it in. And these principles will help us. Amen? Hallelujah. Stretch your hands out to your pastor here for a minute. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. You have been faithful, saith God, to occupy your God-appointed place. And to remain faithful to the revelations upon which this ministry was birthed and founded. And although your faith has been challenged through the years, as well as the advancement of my plans and purposes here, you have stayed strong. You've patiently endured. You've exercised wisdom, and you've prevailed. But now a new season dawns, saith God, one that you have seen with the eyes of your faith, and that you've held to in your spirit, but it shall now be manifested in the natural realm. And as I have sustained you and kept you until this time and season, I will likewise now take you into the fullness of the vision and the call, both personally and corporately. Every need will be supplied. Every favor necessary for the consummation and completion of my plan and purpose here will be granted. And those who have come here by divine appointment and have remained and are faithful, and those who will likewise come, they will join with you, uphold you in your place, join hands, join hearts, join faith, and together you will impact not only the city but the region with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So continue to move forward with confidence, for I'm with you, saith the Lord, and it shall all come to pass. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody say it'll come to pass. And you know, some things for you are coming to pass. Some of you need to pick some things back up. You got discouraged. You didn't see it coming to fruition. You let it go. Hey, let's pick it back up. And let's just go back, refresh our faith a little bit, and then let's make another transaction and hold on to it. All right? And David, I know that we talked a little bit, but I just want to join hands with your wife there for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Stretch your hands out toward Him. You know, as we said to you, and the Spirit of God is saying, as the desires of a man's heart can be placed there by the Spirit of God. And also, the Bible says, to roll your works upon the Lord and to trust wholly in Him. And He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with His will. And so shall your plans be established and succeed. You haven't failed, saith God. You're just realigning and regrouping. You're in the right place at the right time with the right people. And I'm going to give you steps to take, saith God, to unfold that dream. And there'll be seemingly at times perhaps illogical steps, but if you'll take those steps one by one, then I'll pave the way before you. Your path will rise before you clear as a highway, and everything will come into fruition that I have planned and purpose for you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But you be at peace right now. be at rest. It's all good. You're everything's fine. Amen? All right, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand for a moment. Thank you, Lord.